Mini episode 43 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by DOU Productions, delivering coverage of sports and pop culture through columns, live blogs, and original videos. Follow them on the web at generationchatter.blogspot.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
And here we are again, the FDH Lounge mini episode here. Rick Morris and Mike Petak, our chief motorsports correspondent, coming at you here tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit of NASCAR season recap. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
I know you were following all the proceedings very closely, as you always do, so let's talk about that. The final race, we had done a little bit of a preview to that some weeks back as far as what was likely to go down in the chase. It ends up being there at the end, Tony Stewart and Carl Edwards. I don't know that either one of us called that as the 1-2 combo at the very end there, but 1-2 in the final standings, 1-2 in the final race. What were the odds of that?
Very long, and the thing was, it came down to the tiebreaker, and the tiebreaker was Tony Stewart won more races in the chase than Carl Edwards.
How about that? So that does that did come into play there. At what point in the chase did you look at it and say, that's it, curtains for Jimmy Johnson? Because you and I talked about this coming in. You and I said he's the man until somebody proves otherwise. At what point, how far along the line was it before you conceded that it wasn't going to be six in a row?
I was about halfway through the chase, and you could not see the incremental advancement. He was very consistent. Usually in the chase, Jimmy Johnson was winning races and, you know, finishing 1-2. You know, 3-4, you're always in the top 10. You know, this chase, he was getting a lot of top 10s, but he got a couple of DNFs, and that really hurt him. And, you know, Tony Stewart won 4 races in the chase, and that was just huge.
Yeah, it was. And really, for Jimmy Johnson, it seemed more like a quote-unquote regular season stretch for him, didn't it? I mean, in the regular season, basically, he goes good enough to make the chase, probably got a handful of DNFs in there during the course of a year, but just kind of slow and steady, making a lot of top tens, and he gets to the fall and turns it on. That's how it's been the last 5 years, but this almost looked more like a mid-July stretch for him, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. You know, and you saw it between him and his crew chief, Chad Knaus. There was a little bit of tension, and, you know, they showed it on television. They showed it in the interviews. You know, they have that in camera, and they have the sound inside the cars. And you could tell that there was just a little bit more tension this year than ever before between him and Chad Knaus.
Yeah, that was really kind of surprising to see that, almost a little bit of a hint of unraveling. But you always wonder what any kind of adversity is going to look like and feel like. As the great Arn Anderson once said, adversity introduces a man to himself. And I guess we got to see a little bit of that with Johnson and Knaus when it came down to it this year, Mike. Adversity's been in short supply for them. But in the chase of 2011, it was right there on full display.
It was, and we'll see what this happens. You know, how does this help the team, or what does it do to the team next year?
That will be very interesting to see. Of course, they will now be running down Tony Stewart, who wins his third championship, and a couple of different milestones with that, with Tony Stewart being also a team owner. It was a chance for a team owner to make it back to the winner's circle at the end of the year. A big jump forward for Toyota, really kind of making their bones in the circuit here. So talk about that. Going beyond the fact that it was Jimmy Johnson, going beyond the fact that it was Tony Stewart winning his third one, what do some of these ancillary things do? How do they paint a picture for what's in the future of NASCAR?
Really interesting. Red Bull is getting out of NASCAR, and I think that's big. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a couple more free agent drivers. And surprisingly enough, today, mm-hmm. it just came out that Roger Penske and Kurt Busch have parted ways. And that's a big seat that's open, and that's also a huge free agent that's open.
That is. Now, I saw some real early indications today, and it's early, but you don't know what kind of back-channel maneuverings there might have been. David Ragan getting mentioned for that spot. Do you put any credence in that?
Yeah, I do, because he's a good young driver. He team up well with Keselowski, and they seem to run well together. You know, in the restrictor plate races, they seem to team up real well. So it wouldn't surprise me.
That would be a natural then in that way. There's some sense. Again, it's very early on. You don't know exactly how it's going to go, but that Kurt Busch may have a hard time finding a premium ride for next year or even an above-average one. Of course, premium rides are in very, very short supply. The above-average ones, even those are kind of finite as well. What are his chances, do you think, at this point of getting a ride that can help him compete to make the chase next year?
Kurt Busch is an excellent driver. Mm-hmm. He has the same problem his brother does.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hothead.
Yeah.
And he wears his emotions on his sleeve. Him being a past champion, that gets him into every race next year, no matter what. Will he be able to get a premium ride? I don't know. Maybe this is the point where Kurt Busch maybe starts his own team. I have no credence leading to that, but if there's not a premium ride available, you know, the name Kurt Busch, past champion, you know, he could be able to have, you know, the fundings and knowing the people to put his own team together.
Interesting. And you just wonder who would be involved on a sponsorship level for something like that. I mean, if Bad News Kennels were still in operation, you know, that might be a natural fit. But, you know, the way that it's all gone here, again, some of the different ancillary aspects of this, as we say, with everything with Red Bull, with Toyota, but then it also comes back to Tony Stewart winning again for the third time. And he had to be thinking the last couple of years, as were a couple of the other drivers, was he ever going to get another go around at the end of the year the way that Jimmy Johnson was going? There were a lot of eyes at a certain point in time on Jeff Gordon as being a past champion that was maybe going to be able to get back in there this year. But interestingly enough, it wasn't Jeff Gordon, but it was another man who was experienced as a Chase champion who was able to topple Jimmy Johnson in the end.
Absolutely. And what kind of engine was underneath that Tony Stewart machine? Hendrick.
Mm-hmm.
Run by Hendrick Power. So that Hendrick team is really on quite a roll. Will Stewart be able to repeat? I don't know. It's so hard to repeat. You got to give Jimmy Johnson all the credit in the world. And not only that, him being an owner, and now he's kind of tied in with Danica Patrick.
Yeah.
Danica Patrick is going to be driving a couple of NASCAR races next year for Tony Stewart.
That's true. That's true. And that's there's going to be a real kind of media circus element that's going to go along with that. Not only do you have the defending NASCAR Chase champion, who is the team owner for her, but all the circus-like elements that come along with her as well. So that really is going to be probably even more, I guess you would say, mainstream attention that's going to be coming to NASCAR next year, even beyond what they've got at this point.
And we know how well Tony Stewart can handle the media when he's really under pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony's another one who will let it fly.
There could be some real freak-out moments next year, huh?
Absolutely. You know, another thing is, you know, we're talking about Dale Earnhardt. He made it into the Chase this year, but he really didn't make any noise. Really kind of disappointing in that. Another thing that caught my eye towards the end of the year was Clint Bowyer leaving Childress Racing, going over to Michael Waltrip Racing, and surprisingly, David Rudiman, who I think is a fine driver,
mm-hmm,
got the boot for Clint Bowyer.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising as the way this merry-go-round continues to progress here as the drivers are making their way different places, as often happens this time of year, and sometimes even a tad earlier than this, we start to get the things here. Are there any more big moves coming, do you think, or have we seen most of them to this point in the winter already?
I think we've seen the most of them that we're going to see right now. I think, you know, right now everybody's waiting to see where Kurt Busch lands.
Yeah, yeah, that's got to be the $64,000 question at this point.
And maybe he ends up at Childress Racing.
Maybe so, maybe so. Let me go back for a second to something you said about Little Lee, because you and I have talked about him over our many times of talking to NASCAR on the program previously. What does this say about him when you look at it? Yeah, he made the Chase. He had a very good year by the standards of just about any driver out there. But the expectations that have always been on him, are we at a point in time here? And I didn't tend to hear, by the way, at the end of the year, a lot of disappointment, a lot of hand-wringing about, what a disappointing year for Little Lee. Is this essentially the new normal that we have reached as far as his expectations of where people no longer see him as a guy like Jimmy Johnson, like Tony Stewart, like Kyle Busch, who a lot of people have seen Kyle Busch, myself included, as sort of a champion in waiting? Is Dale Earnhardt Jr. not at that point right now, or is it premature to say that?
I think it's premature to say that, especially with the team that they have. I mean, Hendrick, they keep on rolling out winners. But the big thing is Little E sells a ton of merchandise, and as sad as that is, that's pretty important. I think that he does have potential. I mean, he's won a lot of races in the past. Will he be a champion? I don't know. NASCAR is so tightly grouped. Any one of 8 or 9, 10 people can be a champion at any given year.
In terms of him moving the merch, let's talk about this here for a second. There's an obvious point of comparison that comes to my mind here. It almost sounds like we're speaking of Dale Earnhardt Jr. as the John Cena of NASCAR. Now, we know that in the world of wrestling, it's perceived that selling T-shirts and all this other garbage can make up for lower buy rates. What does Dale Earnhardt Jr. bring to the Hendrick people to make up for the fact that he is not a Chase champion? And he's up there, he's a top-level racer, but how much extra, how much more valuable is he? How much more Cena-like is he to that organization as a guy who's an almost unparalleled mover of merch?
He is the John Cena of NASCAR. You know, he's improved since he left DEI.
Mm-hmm.
He had an off year the first year with Hendrick. He's made some small strides incrementally since then. And, you know, maybe next year, another year with the crew chief, another year with the crew, maybe it pushes him over the edge. Maybe it takes him to that next level where he's not just hoping for top 15s. He's looking like Jimmy Johnson, like Jeff Gordon of the past, looking at top fives and wins.
Okay. All right. Are there any more big winter-type storylines that you're keeping an eye on between now and Daytona? Are there any other things? Again, as you say, there's the question of where Kurt Busch is going to end up. But as far as any off-the-track developments or anything like that, anything else you're really keeping your eye on between now and Speed Weeks?
No, I'm really looking forward to Speed Weeks. I can't wait for it for Daytona.
It is going to be exciting next year, no question about it. All right, taking an early look ahead to next year, let's bring it around on that note. As we look at the season, is it still a thing where you look at it, again, you talk about how hard it is to repeat Tony Stewart, unproven in that role as a repeater. Are we still looking at it with Jimmy Johnson where it's to be the man, you got to beat the man as a guy who won it 5 times in a row? Does he still come in with the bullseye on him next year as the dominant driver of this era, or could it be time for, say, a Kyle Busch to step up? What are you looking at? What are you thinking might be the picture 11 months from now when they're crowning a new champion?
I think we're looking at the same cast of characters. You can't, you know, Jimmy Johnson is such a driven individual, and you know him not winning a championship this year absolutely just killed him, and you could just tell it by his demeanor, you know, on the track and off the track. That championship means everything to him. So I think you're going to see him. I think you're going to see Carl Edwards again, Tony Stewart, you know, Brad Keselowski with his first full-time ride in NASCAR. He did an excellent job. So I think you're going to see, you know, the same cast of characters. You're going to see, you know, Roush Fenway. You're going to see Hendrick. You know, you're going to see Stuart Haas racing. You're going to see the same cast of characters, and you know, obviously Joe Gibbs, and if Kyle Busch can keep his head on straight, you know, he's always a contender.
If you had to just say one name for next year, again, for me, I guess it would be Jimmy Johnson. Really, until somebody proves otherwise, again, it's sort of that old thing of when Ric Flair lost the title, let's see you beat me again. That's how I kind of look at it with Jimmy Johnson. Somebody puts a gun to your head, who do you say for next year?
Wow, I'm a Chevy guy.
Okay,
and that's really a strange thing about racing. You have Chevy guys, you have Ford guys,
mm-hmm.
You have Dodge guys. You never hear anybody say they're a Toyota guy, but you know that's neither here nor there. If I would have a gun to my head, yeah, I would say Jimmy Johnson.
Okay,
and you know, but I'm going to go with the same top three. Jimmy Johnson, Tony Stewart, and Carl Edwards.
Okay. All right. Clip and save. We'll see what it looks like heading into next year. And I know we'll be talking about NASCAR again as we approach Speed Weeks. Mike Ptak, thank you very much, my friend, as always.
Thank you, Rick. Always a pleasure.